Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Train Pipe Bomb Productions. Let's not waste any more time. I'm the Bear of Texas, the Grey Girths podcast very own Tony Trujillo. And Tony, I think that we are ready to recap AEW All In.
Yeah, let's do it, man. I loved it. It was better than I thought it was going to be. So let's just go right into it. I'm not going to lie to you, though, man. I missed the fucking the first hour, 0 hour. I have no clue what happened, dude. I fucking was late to the party. Yeah, dude, I thought when they said at 11 that was the, you know, the 1 hour thing. But no, dude, that's when it actually started.
Right.
So I missed all the pre-show, dude. You're going to have to fill me in on that.
Okay, well, as you know, obviously in my case, but you know what? We always get through it, but you know, sometimes it bothers me that the pre-show is not considered part of the show, but hey, it's part of the card, so yes, it is part of the show. And listen, I know that tribalism is not our thing, but I'm going to have to kind of break that rule a little bit, because I'm going to say this is the truth. I think SummerSlam was a good show, but it had nothing compared to AEW All In. I think AEW All In beats out SummerSlam by a landslide.
Man, I saw this meme. I'm glad you mentioned tribalism. I saw this meme today, and it was like, not going to lie, this is how I feel. And it's greater than, less than, but it's WrestleMania, and then it's, you know, WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, finish the story. But then it's this year's fucking All In, and it's like that one. And I was just like, that's rough, man. We're getting there, though, because in my opinion, SummerSlam was a dud, dude. It was just not good. But obviously, if you compare them side by side, dude, All In is way better. But again, going back to what you're saying about trying not to be tribalistic, we kind of have to, dude, because you're seeing online all these fucking nerds that they can't stop talking about the tarped areas. And I'm like, you mean the ones like at SummerSlam too? And that just fucking starts, you know, like, it would kill them, bro, to say one positive thing about anything that isn't their precious WWE. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. It really is a weird behavior, but it is what it is, man. I mean, I thought it was a good show, dude. That was, like I told you, dude, that was a 4.5-star show. That it was, every match had something about it that I liked. Do you have any idea how long it's been since I've watched an AEW show where every fucking match was interesting to me? That's rare, dude. So Sorry, I'm getting all fired up, but
we need you to be fired up because this is Ringside Chaos. I mean, this is a passionate and sophisticated educational pro wrestling program, so we tell like it is. We're not going to bullshit. And listen, at the end of the day, I said it. Look, I loved SummerSlam, but I'm just saying, I think AEW All In was a lot better. Now, did I watch the show like you? No, but based on what I saw. Because thank God there are wrestling fans that just post footage. I mean, even though they know it's going to be taken down one way or the other.
They still post it, dude.
They keep doing it. But at the same time, they're smart. They don't put the whole match. Because I think as long as you don't put the whole match, it's going to last a lot longer than you think before Twitter takes it down. But keep in mind, Twitter takes it down because, you know, it's called copyright infringement. And look, that's a rule that we have to follow. And that's a rule that we personally respect because in our case, we wouldn't want our content being put out there without our permission. So...
yeah.
So to start out the show, I mean, obviously, the pre-show started out with a 16-man tag team match.
Jesus. Hold on, say that again. A 16-man tag. I'm glad I missed that one, actually.
A 16-man tag team match. I mean, the exciting part of it, I mean, Tommy Billington, who's the nephew of the late Dynamite Kid, was in it.
Yeah.
And, Leo Rush, somebody that we, you know, very well known in Japan and Ring of Honor and AEW, was in it as well. Of course, a dude by the name of Action Andretti, who I hadn't seen since he pulled out that big win over Jericho. They beat the team of Jay Lethal. You know, they basically beat Jay Lethal's team. I mean, Evil Uno and Sanjay Dutt were managing that team. So, of course, the Dark Order was part of that team.
Bro.
Private Party, so...
Bro, fucking Jay Lethal just can't catch a break, dude. That guy always loses these days. But, okay,
but
so...
but everybody likes to bring up that big promo with Ric Flair, that woo-off at Impact Wrestling. I think it was, what was it, 2011?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. That's kind of the moment that Lethal became Lethal, in my opinion. That's just me, though. I don't know a lot about the guy. Now, that being said, how did you watch that match, that fucking 16-man match? Jesus.
I mean,
or did you just look
at
the highlights?
Some of the clips that were on social media, yeah. But, you know, some of the reactions, of course, some people say, oh, it was okay. Most people chose, you know, to kind of pull the Jim Cornette card and crap all over it. But.
That's how it already is, man. Right. As soon as that show started, bro, every fucking, every, like, wrestling fan page that I'm on, they had those, like, it already started. I was like, I looked at my wife, too. I was like, bro, I talk a lot of shit, but, like, you got to see this, dude. Like, these wrestling fans, their pussies get wet every time AEW gets mentioned. And so then they go running to it, and they start talking about it. And all they ever say is, it's not competition. AEW is dying. But they're always talking about it, bro. And then AEW just does this
instead. AEW has your attention. So,
yeah, dude, and I'm like, oh my god. So sure enough, I showed her, and I was like, the show barely started. And she's like, I know, dude. And I told her, like, this is an all-the-time occurrence. But anyway, keep going.
But so the match, you know, the 16-man tag team match, you know, it's a match, you know, it's a pre-show match. So, you know, obviously, it's reasonable for it to get mixed reactions. But, you know, I thought, you know, it's a match, you know, I was able to get through. The second match, I really have nothing to say about that one. Willow Nightingale and Tomohiro Ishii versus Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway.
That's a weird decision for a...
It's not a match I'm going to crap on. It's just a match I really have... I have nothing to say about it, but, you know, I have a lot of respect for Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander, but...
Yeah, me too.
But obviously, the third match on the card is a match that's obviously that I would say is the best match of the pre-show because... The Von Erichs were in it, and of course, I'm a Von Erich disciple. I love the Von Erichs. Texas is Von Erich nation forever. God bless and long live the Von Erichs. Ross and Marshall, who of course they're the son of Kevin, who's the, you know, the brother that's still around. You know, seeing them, you know, being champions with Dustin Runnels, the son of the late great American Dream Dusty Rhodes, and of course Cody's older brother. And of course, it seems Sammy Guevara on that too. So this was a 10-man tag match. So we went from 16-man tag team match to a mixed tag team match to a 10-man tag team match.
Jesus.
So the Von Erichs, Sammy Guevara, Katsuyori Shibata, and Dustin Runnels, with Kevin Von Erich managing them, going against the Undisputed Kingdom and the Cage of Agony. and the Undisputed Kingdom was teaming with Cage of Agony. So, I mean, you know, for me, obviously, seeing the Von Erichs is always a blessing.
It's fair to say that it's all right.
No, I'm going to say it was great because, hey, the Von Erichs were in it, so that makes it great to me. And, you know, the Von Erichs versus the Undisputed Kingdom, you know, that's always something that's interesting to me.
All right, right.
So you know what? The Von Erichs, they main evented the pre-show. And I still think the pre-show is important as well. I mean, people are laughing at me right now that the fact that I care about the pre-show. Look, it's professional wrestling, okay? It's on the card, okay? Whether it's pre-show, main show, it's on the freaking card. And that's what matters. So, anyway, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, I don't know, man. Like, I try to watch it. I just feel like they know that people are going to skip it, so that's where they put, like, the shitty fucking matches on purpose. And it's fucked up, dude. I'm like, yeah, you guys know that no one's going to watch it. Or they could want people to watch that, dude, and people are just fucking asswipes and don't. Because I still, like, read the news to see what the fucking results were. I still, like, watch clips, but I'm the same way, dude. And, like, I feel for those wrestlers because you got to remember, these fucking pre-shows, you can see on TV that people are just getting to their seats. That's fucked up. You're wrestling sometimes for nobody.
Right.
Or 20 people, not, you know, like, that sucks dick. But anyway, keep going.
There are some top moments and takeaways from this one, you know, that as Bleacher Report pointed out. Now, I should point out that every match on the pre-show, I mean, they all got C's. which doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, that tells you.
But the 10-man tag, you know, because it's the Von, you know what? Because it's the Von Erichs, obviously, I'm obviously a bit biased. I would have given an A because, again, it's Ross and Marshall Von Erich and their dad, Kevin, and they're gentlemen that I have a lot of respect for because I have a lot of respect for the Von Erich family, for the Von Erich legacy. But we should point out, I mean, obviously, when Dustin Reynolds performs the Crossroads, it's always going to draw a huge pop, and that's what it did. And of course, Dustin Rhodes,
right?
Or Dustin Runnels, Rhodes, whatever you want to call him, because we know who he is. Even did a spin-a-rooney to actually give a shout out and, you know, pay homage to his former tag team partner, the 5-time WCW champion and 2-time Hall of Famer Booker T. I mean, we can dig that, can't we? I had to get that out. Sorry, but. But,
Booker,
you know, and of course, you
know, I don't know, man. Booker T needs to shut his mouth.
You know, Sammy Guevara in his wrestling. You know, it's good to see Sammy Guevara wrestling again. So, you know, and I have to tell you, and speaking of Sammy Guevara, as soon as, you know, like that, you know, everybody just goes back to, you know, saying those things about him. I'm just telling everybody, just shut up. Okay? Seriously.
Well, it's annoying, dude. Yeah, like, it's so weird that you can't like a wrestler because of what they did in their personal life, and you're like, I don't fucking care about them as a person. Maybe that's just me, dude, but I'm like, I don't give a fuck about them as a person.
I mean,
some of them, sure, but I don't care, dude. I'm like, you're an act to me. You're acting. You're literally in the entertainment business. This is your job.
Right.
So I don't care that. Even if it was something like, okay, we found out that Sammy Guevara likes to smack bitches. Like, okay, that's wrong that he does that. However, I enjoy his matches because the guy in the ring, it's a character. That's a whole other person. When he's at home, different story. So it's just so weird, dude, that people are like that. That's fucking bizarre to me.
I mean, the dude's married. He's a father. He's doing what he loves to do. And again, he's a dude who's made mistakes. You know, whether in the ring, that thing with Jeff Hardy, or something stupid that he said, you know, 10 years ago, you know, I mean, come on. You know, he's currently one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions alongside Dustin Rhodes. So, you know, and Dustin Rhodes being a dual champion right now, you know, even at his age right now, Dustin Rhodes is still going strong. So I'm happy for the guy. But that kind of wraps it up, you know. But to see, you know, Sammy Guevara, a dude from Houston, teaming up with the Von Erichs, so, and of course Dustin Rhodes, you know, all representing the Lone Star State. So that's why that part where I'm kind of biased. I feel like that was it was the best match of the pre-show, and I felt like this match really should have been part of the main card. But that's just me. But speaking of the pre-show, well, I mean. why not start off? I mean, it feels like almost every match was for a title. You know, and we all know AEW All In is obviously AEW's WrestleMania. So I think
Impact Wrestling has
Bound for Glory. I think Bound for Glory is their WrestleMania, is their flagship pay per view. But you start off with a four way London ladder match for the AEW World Trios Championship.
It felt like a WWE Money in the Bank ladder match, dude. That's how good that match was.
Well,
it literally felt like a WWE product.
Got
this.
No, wait. There's one more thing about the pre-show that how can I forget it? Jamie Hayter finally made her return to AEW.
I forgot all about her.
Well, it's
that's
been,
right. I saw something about that online.
Well, it's been so long since she returned. I was wondering when she would return. I mean, first of all, yeah, we owe Jamie an apology big time, especially me, because Jamie Hayter is just another wrestler, another woman wrestler that I have a lot of respect for. You know, all the great works that she's done in Japan and her native England and the stuff that she's done in AEW. So sorry, Jamie, but you know, Saraya, who of course, you know, we all know, formerly known as Paige, you know, like that. So it was good to see Jamie Hayter make a return. So welcome back, Jamie. We missed you. So go ahead, got that. But man, obviously, I mean, you know, covering an AEW All In show, ladies and gentlemen, it's no simple task. Believe me. So,
well, it's stacked too, man.
Yeah, it is. But fucking, you know, at the end of the day, we can't complain because we're getting a stacked wrestling card that we've begged WWE to give us for so long. So AEW is giving it to us.
Yeah.
All right. So basically, the first match, London ladder match for the AEW World Trios Championship, Pac and the Blackpool Combat Club members Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta against the Patriarchy, which is Christian Cage, Killswitch, and Nick Wayne, the Bang Bang Gang, and the House of Black. Well, I would say definitely a stack.
I was shocked that the House of Black didn't win.
You know what? Yeah, honestly, I'm surprised. I would have expected the House of Black to win. I mean, no disrespect to Pac and the Blackpool Combat Club. I mean, they're awesome. But yeah, honestly, if we're being realistic,
then
the House of Black, Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews, who of course Buddy Matthews married to Rhea. You know, yeah, the House of Black would have been my pick.
I was kind of hoping that it would be, I know how dumb this sounds, but I was kind of hoping it was going to be Bang Bang, the Bang Bang Gang. I typically don't like those fuckers, but I do like Jay White. So Jay White, I think it's for different reasons, though. It's not like most people think. I think a lot of it is just because he's a wrestler that I discovered outside of WWE and AEW. I had no idea who that fucking dude was. Until like ring, you know, TNA and all that shit. So it's something I cherish. I love that he's not like someone that I found through a famous channel, because I do consider AEW to be big. However, a lot of the guys I'm seeing on AEW did come from TNA or Ring of Honor and all that. So
or WWE.
I just like that Jay White is legitimately a foreign guy that I found, not like a prior fucking star. So I like him. I can't stand fucking Juice Robinson. He's really annoying. But I like his gimmick at the same time. Like, I like his, like, I mean, look at like his fucking name, dude. Rock Hard Juice Robinson. Like, that's funny as fuck. But he is annoying the way he does his shit. Anyway, I wanted the Bang Bang Gang to win just because, I mean, why not, dude? You can't shit on the Ass Boys and Jay White when they're together. He kind of propelled them, in my opinion.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Because nobody gave a fuck about them.
Right. You know, and he is a former...
Until Jay White.
He's a former AEW World Trios champion, as well as a Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team champion. You know, and you talk about how Jay White, you know, the decorated career in Japan. I mean, he's the first ever New Japan Pro Wrestling Grand Slam champion.
Yeah.
The dude is so one of a kind, Jay White. Former IWGP heavyweight champion, intercontinental champion, never openweight champion. I mean, he's the fifth New Japan Triple Crown champion. And again, as I said, the first Grand Slam champion.
Yeah, it was a good match all around, though, dude. It really felt like I said earlier, dude, it felt like something that I would watch on WWE. Like, I'd get confused at times, like, damn, this feels so close to, like, a Money in the Bank ladder match. And I guess some people might take offense to that, but I liked it. I love
and admire about Jay White, and sorry to interrupt, but Jay White showed that you can succeed outside WWE. This dude did it all in Japan. Man. And that I have a lot of respect for, because it bothers me how people say you have to go to WWE to be the most successful as a professional wrestler. That is bullshit.
Right, yeah. I mean,
WWE obviously is the biggest promotion before in the world, but no, WWE is not the only place to succeed. A lot of wrestlers did great in Japan. A lot of wrestlers did better in other companies than they did in WWE, but...
Yeah, you need to go to WWE if you want to be, like, an actor. You know, like, if you want to be, like, on the grand stage.
Exactly. But this match, really, it did give us the Money in the Bank vibes. You know, of course, how everybody got involved. I mean, it's funny that Mother Wayne, she even tried to actually climb up the ladder to try to get the belts. It obviously didn't work. And, you know, speaking of Pac, I mean, I think that a year ago, Pac wasn't part of AEW All In. So it's good to see that Tony Khan was able to give Pac his All In moment, especially because Pac is an Englishman. He's from Newcastle.
Right.
So, you know, and obviously, a lot of the British wrestlers went over on this show. But,
yeah.
Right. But seeing the Blackpool Combat Club win the titles, you know.
Yeah.
You speaking of Claudio Castagnoli, who of course was known as Cesaro in WWE, it's good to see him truly achieve the success, you know, outside WWE. Because everybody's still upset that Cesaro or Castagnoli never got his main event push in WWE. Which I don't want to say I'm upset about. I'm disappointed. Because, you know, the dude. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, he somewhat got it with Roman Reigns, but then that was it. They never gave him another chance. They didn't. I don't think they like saw anything in him. I think that they thought he was good enough for one main event, and I really think that's stupid because it was a good match. It and is clearly one
of the dumbest things ever, especially in 2015 when he challenged John Cena for the U.S. title. Oh, I'll never forget that match. Some say it's because of his mic skills. Okay, no. First of all, his mic skills. If anybody says that the dude can't speak on the mic, you're just stupid. You don't even know what you're talking about. Now, his heavy Swiss accent like that, but you know what? Look, you can't hold that against him. But no, I mean, if people say that the dude can't speak on the mic, you're just simply out of your mind. Now, but still, yeah, WWE dropped the ball big time by not pushing him. But you know, AEW Tony Khan has actually been able to actually, you know, find great things for Claudio. And Claudio is just being, he's just being himself. You know, great athlete, doing what he loves to do, giving the fans what they want to see. So I'm happy. So I'm happy that the Blackpool Combat Club won the title, but still. But I expected the House of Black to go over on this one.
Yeah.
But this match, you know.
That was a good match.
The high risk maneuvers, the huge bumps, the big spots. I mean, again, this is what you would see in a traditional sort of ladder match like this one. Except you wouldn't see this in WWE today. This is how that.
I was going to say, this is how wrestling is supposed to look. But anyway. So,
how many times have I said it? I've said it on your show. I've said on this one. Professional wrestling is not and should never be PG.
Yeah, no shit. Mm-hmm. Don't get me started on that. We'll get off topic.
Right, but... All right, so moving on. Timeless Toni Storm lost her title to Mariah May.
So, I didn't think that was going to happen because here's what I thought. I thought that, correct me if I'm wrong, we're in Toni's territory, right? This is her fucking home.
Well, she...
Well,
she was born in New Zealand and she grew up in Australia She moved to England. I believe she has a grandma... Or she has family living in, based in Liverpool. I think when she was around 18, she left Australia to move to England, where she further trained. I mean, she started training, I think, at the age of 14 or so. A lot of these, from what I'm told,
Australian
wrestlers train early. They start training early, but you know, still, but from what I understand, she did compete. I think she started out her career out in England as well. Of course, before WWE, she was huge in Japan for the World Ringer Stardom, the Japanese women's promotion, and I think she did achieve some success.
For some reason, I thought that was her territory.
So. Now, Toni Storm is, I mean...
Yeah, for some reason, I thought that was her home.
Well, I mean, again, she lived in England.
She
did live in England for a while, but I think she was born in New Zealand, but I believe she was raised in Australia.
I thought she was going to win. So I figured she was going to win because it was All In, and Mariah May is still kind of an up-and-coming to a lot of people. Like, I knew who she was before AEW, but...
Not up-and-coming, but still...
A lot of people don't.
The story was at a point where it was not the best time for her to become champion. Yeah, I wouldn't label Mariah May as up-and-coming, but...
Well, she's new to a lot of people, though, so I kind of thought that Toni was going to win, and then I figured Mariah was going to get a rematch at All Out and win it then, because I could see them... giving it to Mariah May. I knew that they were going to give it to her. I just didn't think it was going to be at All In.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty cool story to tell your parents about.
I mean,
we got to give her props, though. It was a good match.
It was, yeah. It was. And Mariah May is a hell of a talent. You know, another female wrestler that knows her craft, passionate about what she does, and she's great at it. You see... It amazes me that so many female wrestlers just totally prove themselves to be so unique and so talented. You know, for me, in my case, I show a great appreciation because it solidifies my vocal views on the importance of women's wrestling. And, you know, Timeless Toni Storm, Timeless Toni Storm program has arguably been the best thing on AEW, according to most sources. Speaking of Toni, obviously I've said many times I missed the rock star gimmick, but I did embrace the Hollywood starlet persona. But yeah, the thing of it was a great match because, you know, I always feel like any match that Toni Storm's in is amazing because, you know, Toni Storm is such a tremendous wrestler, and the story about how she was betrayed by Mariah and everything. It all makes sense. I mean, the match actually got graded. It got an A+ from Bleacher Report, which I don't disagree with. The only thing I disagree with, I just didn't think it was.
No, it was a good.
It was not the best time to put the belt on Mariah. But then again, as you said, it's England because Mariah is English. They felt that okay, because, you know, so many they felt like the British wrestlers had to get over, and they did a good job to where that Mariah actually kicked out of a Storm Zero. That she took on the steps. So they booked the match properly, especially because, you know, to make Mariah May look so strong. So I think the match was booked and produced well. I just don't agree with the decision. So I'm not mad or anything. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? They went with it, so let's see what comes out of it next. So while I don't agree with the decision, there's really nothing negative about the match, honestly. Just something I just didn't agree with. And no disrespect. I mean, again, as I said,
it was a good match.
Mariah was going to have the belt put on her. I just didn't think it would happen at All In. So, but the match was tremendous.
Yeah.
But, well, there was one thing I thought would happen.
I
thought
Luther. They were going to put it on her.
I expected Luther to actually turn on Toni. That's something I thought would have happened, but I don't think it did.
No, I mean, I didn't think that was going to be the case. I mean, it could be. I mean, it would work out good for Mariah May, in my opinion. Like, that's a character that does need a general manager. And realistically, after this loss for Toni Storm, how does she continue this whole timeless character anyway?
Right.
That's where I think it might change. I think we're going to see a change in that. But the match was good. And, like, you know me, dude. I'm not, like, I know I get called a dick for it, but it is what it is. I'm really not, like, interested in women's wrestling. A lot of it does bore me. Not to say that it's bad. It's just I feel like they don't invest a lot of time into the women's division at all. I feel like the stories don't get I just feel like they give them the shittiest stories, and that's fucked up to the women. So it's not necessarily like their fault. I feel like the stories aren't as interesting, so I have a hard time focusing on it. But I focused on that story, and then I did watch that match, and yeah, it was a brutal match. It was pretty good.
Right.
Like I said, dude, every match on this fucking card was amazing. But
right. Well,
moving on to the next one, the third match.
You know, speaking of being critical, I mean, honestly, because it's Jericho, everybody just wanted to take the opportunity, which just, it just makes me mad. Because, you know, but then again, people would say, well, obviously, because Alex, Jericho is Alex's hero. He's Bear Man's hero. I'm like,
oh, he's my favorite wrestler, dude.
Everybody just, I mean, everybody's got a problem with the guy, but he doesn't care, and I don't care. Jericho is making a positive impact for the company, whether we like it or not. Okay. You know, and honestly, I have no problem with
his gimmick is to be the old guy that won't go away.
And you know what?
No, that's his gimmick.
He shouldn't have to go away because he makes an impact. You know, a lot of people learn from the guy. He's a huge part of what AEW has become. He's one of the many names that's helped AEW grow. In other words, he's needed.
Right. That's because these fucking nerds, dude, they have a problem with anyone that's older. They have, like, there's, like, a trend where they don't want people that are older to keep going. They get pissed about it, and it's ridiculous. Like, I get it, dude, trust me, because I can only handle The Rock being around for so long where I get annoyed. I get that, but at the same time, it's like, dude, they're still fucking legends, and some of them are still workers. Like, Randy Orton is still a worker. So, for people to shit on him, that's, like, weird to me. I'm like, what the fuck is that about? And it's the same thing here, dude. Shitting on Jericho. Like, he needs to leave. He's fucking old. Like, bro, that's his gimmick. That's the character, you fucking morons. He's in pretty damn good shape for his age.
Right.
But,
yeah, yeah, and the fact is, he just explained it. Jericho is living rent-free in the heads of people who do not like him. So, you know what? Le champion doing his job.
People's heads rent-free.
I mean, seriously, I mean.
Damn right.
Okay, Jericho.
That was a good match too, though, man.
He used to be, but that's because, you know, he's older. He's older now. But I still think Jericho, I still think Jericho wrestles, you know, to a great quality. I still think he puts on, you know, respectable matches. His promos are still great.
Oh.
But now, do I believe that Jericho.
This match was awesome, dude.
Should Jericho be the AEW World Champion again? Well, he doesn't need to be, but should he be in the picture? As long as it's done properly, then yeah. If Jericho were to be in the world title picture again, as long as he's feuding with the right wrestlers at the right time and the storylines are right, then great. But you know, everybody, you know, say he didn't need to become the FTW champion. I mean, to work the program with Hook and to help Hook get better, to help get him over even better. So Jericho working with a very talented wrestler like Hook, you know, very young, broke in the business young. He's the son of, you know, the human suplex machine and the submission specialist, Taz. So, you know, that's what I'm talking about. So, yeah. You know, and of course,
yeah,
you know, Jericho is leading another group. They're called the Learning Tree, if I'm correct. You know, with Big Bill, formerly known as Big Cass, and Brian Keith, who's actually somebody that I'm very familiar with because I've watched him perform in independent promotions here in Dallas-Fort Worth. So, you know what? This match was good. And honestly, I don't care what anybody says. Jericho is still doing great things. I mean, this feud has been going on for months. And I think it closed out in the best way, especially because Taz actually got involved. So.
Well, I have no complaints of the match. I think the only thing I have to say negative is, like, you can clearly see some spots where they were going a little slow because they're trying to figure out what they're going to do next. Like, you can tell they were moving a little slow in some spots, but other than that, dude, it was a good match, and it was longer than I thought it was going to be because I literally thought we were going to get another bullshit 10-minute match like the last time. But no, it was all-out violent, dude. Like, it was pretty fucking funny, some of the shots they did too, like the fucking cue balls and shit. Like, that was hilarious.
And of course,
I would have been
last,
like,
chance match as well. So, and of course, you know, Jericho lost by submission. So, yeah, Hook went over,
which was cool to see.
Yeah,
yeah, it was like I said, another good match.
Jericho putting Hook over. So,
for the world championship.
Unfortunately, Bleacher Report disagrees. I mean, they gave the match a C+. But I guess, you know, from the entrance, Fozzy performing at All In. I mean, obviously, that's a usual thing. So, I mean, Big
I
Bill
it.
Actually.
I loved it, dude. Fuck what I mean, people
the,
say.
The fans really seem to be, happy to see Big Bill. So,
They like Big Bill. It seems to work out. Like, I was kind of, like, iffy about that whole formation. I was like, I don't really care for Brian Keith. And I don't really know much about Big Cass other than Big Cass. You know what I mean? So I was like, I don't know what's going to happen here.
You can't teach
And it's
that.
Gotten better and better, dude.
You can't teach that, dude.
No, dude, it's gotten better and better. But
the days of Enzo and Cass.
Next match.
So, all right. Now we get to, okay. I don't know why they call this a three-way tag team match. I mean, the other way to call it is triple threat. But personally, I like to call it a three-corners match. You know, when it comes to Fatal 4-Way, I prefer to call it four-corners match because it sounds a whole lot cooler than Fatal 4-Way. But the Young Bucks defending the AEW World Tag Team titles against FTR and the Acclaimed.
Bad decision. The ending was stupid. It was a good match. The ending was dumb. I really think that the Acclaimed earned the right to have those titles back. But what the fuck do I know, dude? I kind of thought FTR was going to win. Because, bro, people hate the fact that the Young Bucks are the EVPs and the tag team champions. And I understand that because I feel the same way. If you're running that company, dude, I don't think you need to be holding any belts. Maybe, like, get your one run in because you deserve it. But you don't need to hold belts, dude. There's no reason for that. And so people have voiced their opinion on that. And sorry, dude, I just tested negative for COVID today for the first time in like 7 days. So I'm finally COVID free, but still getting over some shit.
You're
anyway,
all right, brother. And fucking, you know what? I'm glad because I've been praying for you, my friend.
Thank you, man. It was needed because this time it was like a cold, but dude, it lasted forever.
especially in the summertime.
I thought, fucking heat. I thought that FTR was going to win this one because of the fact that people are pissed about Young Bucks. And I figured that AEW Creative would say, like, guys, it's time to drop them now and go in a different direction. Like, keep the story going as the evil EVPs, but maybe it's time to drop the belts. Get those out of the picture.
Right.
That didn't happen. They won. And I was just like, God damn it. Now, it was cool to see what happened at the end when, who came back.
Right.
Oh, wait, no, that was a different match.
Well, that was in the other match, but yeah.
Sorry.
We're getting to that.
Getting that.
Well, okay. The Young Bucks and FTR are one of the – that rivalry is one of the biggest things in not only AEW but in professional wrestling. I don't even know.
Oh, don't get me wrong. The Young Bucks are amazing, right, dude. Now. I do like the Young Bucks.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, I mean, FTR and the Young Bucks, I mean, the first huge match back in 2020. I mean, it seems like every year both teams have a match and it goes great. The last time the two met was in that tournament final to crown the tag titles that were vacant at the time. I think that when it comes to the Young Bucks and the FTR, one loses the other, it's going to be a regular tag match. It's not going to involve another team, especially because of the trilogy. Now, again, speaking of the trilogy, I always lose count on what the record is. Because when I did this, when we talked about, I think it was at Blood and Guts when they became the champions?
I think so. I can't remember.
I think so, and I had it written down then. But you know, we all know like the whole thing with the Young Bucks and FTR. I mean, it's been something that's just been good ever since the two crossed paths. I mean, they've crossed paths in other promotions as well. They wanted a Dynasty. They wanted the AEW Dynasty show. So yeah, and it was in a tournament final for the vacant titles. So. Yeah, and of course that was in a ladder match, but still the Young Bucks and FTR is amazing. But yeah, I mean I would have expected
all three.
Go ahead.
All three tags, all three teams are really good, dude. I love all three of them. I think that they're all great. So it was cool to see them come together because what better way to add on to the FTR and Young Bucks rivalry? So throw something in the mix there. It was just, like I said, I didn't agree with the ending, but it was a good match. Hell yeah.
Right. And from what I see, I mean, obviously, the Young Bucks and FTR, I mean, Hey, I can sense that another huge match will be coming up soon, so it wouldn't surprise me if they put the belts back on FTR. But, you know, just because they got to keep the Young Bucks and FTR rivalry. I mean, they got to keep it going. But
it probably will.
Yeah, but the match actually got a B. But, you know, I think the Young Bucks and their entrance was something, but the crowd didn't seem to be into it.
No, the crowd hates them, man. They fucking the Young Bucks is a tag team that I understand why people hate them, but I disagree with everybody. I'm like, no, they are a phenomenal tag team. They're one of the best. They are future Hall of Famers. The problem is, dude, they'll never get their flowers. I'm on that side of the room that feels that those guys will never get their flowers until they die. No matter what they do, they'll never get respect, dude.
And people they're a just team fucking I'm glad never was in WWE. Although I think they almost joined in 2009, or I think several times they almost joined. I think in 2009 and 2011 they almost joined. But you know what? They have been so successful everywhere else. Ring of Honor, in Japan, everywhere. Dude, you really think that in WWE under Vince McMahon's authoritarian regime that they would have been able to be the Young Bucks that we've seen for so long? Absolutely not. But
no, dude.
Yeah, they I mean, I've got nothing but respect for the Young Bucks, but you know, match was great. But you know, in your case, you felt like the finish. Yeah, the finish. I've seen worse, but I think the finish probably definitely should have been better. I'm not surprised the Young Bucks won, but you know, we'll see how things go. So, ready to move on?
Yes, sir.
All right. The Casino Gauntlet
having some
match.
Electrical issues here. This one was interesting. Oh shoot!
You know, Christian Cage.
This one,
Christian Cage is, you know, even though he's 51, I'm telling you, the dude is still has a lot to offer. You know, much like Adam Copeland, who of course, you know, formerly known as Edge. You know, both these guys at one point were medically disqualified from this. Edge with that neck injury in 2011, and I think for Christian Cage, a series of concussions. I mean, they made the comebacks, and they're still strong. They're still looking strong. Now, you ask how much time they have left. I mean, Christian Cage to me still looks like he's got a lot left.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed this match too, and then I got to see that nice little surprise with Ricochet, which was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I knew he was going. They announced it like days before, so they ruined the surprise in my opinion, but I think that they did that on purpose because they probably wanted to boost interest, so that, you know, it worked.
Well,
but
they never confirmed
it. Was awesome to see
him, dude. It was reported that he had reportedly signed with AEW. It was never so basically it was finally confirmed when he came out. So they did teasers. Now keep in mind, sometimes they have to do it because they got to get people's attention. Like, they got to give people a reason why to tune in. Yeah, so it's a business move. But not only that, but Nigel McGuinness, I think, was in this match as well. And we know Nigel McGuinness.
Yeah.
You know, a Ring of Honor guy, and, you know, another brilliant and unique wrestler from England. But now, speaking of Ricochet, I'm telling you,
a B match. It was pretty good.
Ricochet's pre-WWE career in Japan. No, like Jay White, incredible. So I'm hoping that after doing everything that WWE wanted him to do in WWE, Ricochet can finally be Ricochet in AEW.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But you know,
yeah, I give it a B.
A lot of great talent were in this match. You know, Orange Cassidy. I swear to God, Orange Cassidy, one of the most unique and amazing gimmicks I had ever seen. A dude with a gimmick that is so over, he doesn't even need to talk. Puts the hands in the pocket, the kicks to the shin, the kicks of doom. Dude, Orange Cassidy is, to say that the dude is entertaining is a major understatement. I will never forget the two AEW shows that I've been to in Dallas. Man, and watching him perform, man, amazing. Admit it, Orange Cassidy has made you laugh so hard that you've almost pissed yourself.
Oh, no, I love Orange Cassidy. I used to have an Orange Cassidy shirt, the yearbook photo shirt, but I don't know where the fuck it went. That was like right when, It was right around the time that him and Jericho had their feud the very first time. It was pretty good.
Yeah, which, you know,
I've always been a fan of him.
We were all in a lockdown, which we're not going to get into. Yeah. But other than that, Okada was in it. Kyle O'Reilly, Zack Sabre Jr., Roderick Strong, Mark Briscoe. Man, you know, think of Mark Briscoe, the Briscoe brothers, man. You know, we talk about the Young Bucks, FTR, all these tag teams. I mean, the Briscoes, man, another team that did not need to go to WWE to be great, because what we saw from the Briscoes, if they were in WWE, could we see the Briscoes that we've seen? Absolutely not. But Briscoe, of course, is currently the Ring of Honor World Champion, so, you know. Of course, Hangman. I mean, I expected Hangman Adam Page to actually win this one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I did too, actually.
I mean, Ricochet should have won, but no, Ricochet arrives. I mean, no, they got to build him up before putting him in the title picture. But you know, Christian Cage winning it, I mean, doesn't surprise me. So, you know,
yeah, go figure.
But you know, obviously, you know, because you know, with the whole world title picture, I mean, we'll get to that. But you know, Christian Cage obviously has a future AEW World title match. So we'll see when that goes.
Yeah.
All right. Will Ospreay versus Maxwell Jacob Friedman for the AEW International Championship.
This was my favorite match of the whole show. I think that this is the match that stole the show, in my opinion. I know everyone loves the main event, and it is a good match, I agree, but this one was way better, dude. And I'm going to be that guy. I love Will Ospreay, and I love MJF. I did not agree with the ending, dude. That was bullshit.
I saw it coming from a mile away. What is it about the ending that you didn't like?
I don't think Ospreay should have won, dude. I think that they should have carried this even further. I think it should have went, like, way past this, dude. It should have been another month or two of this. Like, this could have been such a good story, dude, because you really have two icons that are, like, basically there. They're, like, right there at the top, dude. This could have been something you could drag out. And maybe that's what they're going to do, but I don't know, dude. Now that Ospreay has it back, what's the point? And I think it's better for Ospreay to just continue on and defend it with... I just never agreed with giving him a belt so damn early anyway. So the fact that MJF beat him, I was like shocked. But then I was like, well, again, I didn't like that he got a belt so early, so I guess that's good. But I also didn't like that they gave MJF the international champion, because I was like, dude, that's like giving John Cena the United States champion right after he won the WWE champion for a consecutive amount of years. You know, like, it was weird. Yeah. But yeah. I liked the gimmick. And like I said, dude, I'm not going to talk too much about this because we have a lot of matches to cover, but dude, this was a fucking awesome match. Like, everything that we got from the main event, we also got in this, but for me, 10 times more, dude. It was fucking awesome. There were numerous times where I thought it was going to end, and it didn't. It was pretty long, I thought. I thought it was perfect for the time.
I mean, it's basically...
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just saying, I did not care for the ending. That was it. Otherwise, dude, it was a fucking... This is the match. I think that this is the one that stole the show. This was the best match on the card. My opinion, though.
I mean, you have the best wrestler in the world today, Will Ospreay, against one of a kind, you know, arguably one of the best villains in today. I mean, some would say the best villain today at all. I mean, this is obviously like a traditional good guy. I mean, this is like a traditional classic thriller between a good guy and a bad guy. And one thing to point out, MJF, the entrance, I mean, obviously gave us the Rocky IV vibes. But of course, you know, the gear obviously was paying homage to Lex Luger. But the finish, the finish, I mean, I guess I kind of understand because it was part of the storyline. Because not long ago, Daniel Garcia was injured by MJF, so
yeah.
But would have been better if Will Ospreay. I mean, okay, I understand some people felt that Ospreay winning was the wrong choice, but I will say Ospreay winning, it probably would have been better if he had won clean. But again, it makes sense that he won it this way because Daniel Garcia is part of the story because he got because of the injury at the hands of MJF. And of course, MJF is about to use the brass knuckles, and he gets stopped. So it made sense to me. It did. So, and I tell you, the match just, man. Again, you're right. Yeah. This match stole the freaking show. Then, of course, you know, part of the story. Yeah. I mean, with Ospreay utilizing a certain finisher that has been deemed, you know, dangerous. You know, and he does it. So.
Hmm.
But, you know, and the fact that all the reversals and the counters in this match, I mean, MJF at that time when he countered something and actually performed a crossroads, man. Mm. I mean, I'm telling you, what a thriller. Like, all these high spots and maneuvers. Right. I mean, this is what you get when you have Will Ospreay and Maxwell Jacob Friedman. You get a quality thriller match like this. It's a match that reminds us why we love professional wrestling the way we do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I think the finish. Yeah, I mean, I think it would be better if Ospreay had won it clean. But well, I actually have it better. Here's how I think the match should have ended. Maxwell Jacob Friedman uses the brass knuckles, but he gets thwarted by Garcia, and. And then Ospreay recovers and then wins like that.
Right.
But, you know, we all have our opinions as wrestling fans. But, you know, but again, the match was amazing. And in your case, while the finish wasn't the best, the match, as you said, stole the show. I mean, a lot of people agree that this was the main event. All right. Dr. Britt Baker versus Mercedes Moné for the TBS Championship.
Like I said earlier, every match was good. I enjoyed every single one. But I'm going to be the bad guy, and I'm going to just say it. If I had to pick a least favorite, it's this one. This is my, like, least favorite on the card. It just wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be, man. I kind of expected a little more. And like I said, it was still a good match. It's not a bad match. It just wasn't – I wasn't woed like I thought I would be. Maybe there's more to the story. That's what I think. I think this is just setting up. For more, obviously, you know, with Camille being involved and shit, so
right,
that's probably why it was like that.
I think it
was good, but it was like, yeah, it was kind of a
the fans in attendance, they were not. I mean, they weren't enjoying it, and it makes me
because they didn't want Mercedes Moné to win.
It's disappointing because I'm a huge fan of Dr. Britt Baker DMD. I mean, she paid homage to Eddie Guerrero with that gear. She even pulled an Eddie Guerrero spot. Yep. And man, that was actually pretty funny. And it's, and of course, you know, because Mercedes Moné, she idolized Eddie Guerrero. So how fitting is it that Dr. Britt Baker is the one, you know, paying homage to Eddie Guerrero and, you know, doing that little Eddie Guerrero trick. But.
Right.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah, the fans didn't seem to go well with it, you know. And I'm telling you. Some people were just saying bad things about Dr. Britt Baker. I mean, especially because she recently came back and dealing with so many injuries, which actually were apparently more severe than we thought. So,
yeah,
you know, honestly, I'm just glad that Dr. Britt Baker is back. And of course, she's a former AEW Women's World Champion. So, it doesn't surprise me that she wasn't.
It was a 3-star match.
Win the title because, you know. So
yeah, Mercedes just won it, and she has a reputation for being a backstage brat. Where like if she doesn't get her way, dude, she does throw a fit. So I don't see her losing it anytime soon.
I can't confirm or deny, but
oh no, those are just rumor mill from other like wrestlers, you know, fucking all that bullshit. Like how true it could be is like because even those sources are like as we've seen faulty, but.
Monet's
anyway, it was okay. It was a 3-star match. It's just maybe next time it'll be better. But,
right,
yeah.
And honestly, I mean, as Bleacher Report described it, I mean, they kind of feel that you know this match just didn't live up to the expectation. I mean, it's described as a good match, but it did not reach that level of dream match, so to speak.
Exactly, that's what I mean to say. It just didn't. Right. It felt like another. It felt like a match you would watch on Dynamite.
Yeah. It was a It was a decent match, but it did not live to its true potential. It didn't really, it did not reach that high level of potential that it could have. And I feel like now we get to the coffin match for the AEW TNT title. Darby Allin versus Jack Perry.
Now, this was a good match. This restored my faith in Jack Perry because I really didn't like Jack Perry at all. I never liked him as Jungle Boy. I just never really had any interest in him until he started doing this whole Jack Perry thing. But even then, I was like, okay, you're just the Young Bucks friend. That's really all you are. But then I started watching him wrestle and seeing the shit he does. And he's basically like Darby Allin. Literally, dude, he's a fucking suicider, man. He just does crazy shit. He's a stuntman just like Darby Allin. He's literally the same person. So I enjoy it, and that's cool to see these two. That's like a dream match for me. It was a good match, dude. I saw the ending coming from a mile away. Because, again, he's their buddy. He just won that belt. They're trying to keep this superpower thing going. So he's not losing that belt anytime soon.
And he just customized.
But who better to build him up?
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing, too. I'm like, he just customized a belt. Yeah. When they customize, they're going to hold on to it for a bit.
For a while, yeah.
Well, MJF, yeah. I guess, proved us wrong, but.
Obviously, but MJF was just pulling something that Will Ospreay did in Japan. But, you know, right now, some people are debating who's the bigger heel in wrestling. Is it Jack Perry or is it Dirty Dom?
It's MJF.
Right. Exactly. You know,
he's the heel, dude.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, that's why I didn't say it, because you're the one who knows it better than me. So that's why I gave you that moment. But, well, again, Darby Allin just won the championship before. Yeah, he didn't need to win this match. Now, unfortunately, this is his first loss in a coffin match. But Darby Allin, you know, really making the right decision, you know, putting Jack Perry over. But I kind of really honestly, we know that this is not the end between these two.
No, there's more to the story, dude.
Yeah,
a lot of these matches,
because
they set up for more, I feel.
They have great chemistry working together. But
like I said, dude, they're both daredevils. They're perfect.
Right.
But it was a good match, but, you know, it's not as good as this next one.
Well, before we get to that, I mean, we already made the mistake earlier of not mentioning Jamie Hayter. We're not going to forget the return of this legend, this god in professional wrestling.
I know,
The man
I fucked it up earlier.
Sting. And
I fucked up the timing with when he showed up.
I'm sorry?
No, I fucked up the timing of when he showed up. I made the mistake of saying that he came in after the match where
the Young Bucks
God damn it.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I fucked that up, but
dude, you're
yeah, human, anyway,
bro.
Sorry.
You made a mistake, dude. Come on. You have nothing to apologize for, bro. But
well, they show up at the end of this one, though.
They have Darby locked in the coffin, and then the Young Bucks pour gasoline. I mean, well, you know what? I'm not surprised they did that because in that Blood and Guts match, Jack Perry was
right.
The one. Yeah, so obviously they have to try to return the favor. They have to even the odds, which they did. And of course, Jack Perry has the match, and you know, classic heelish, you know, tactics and looks and everything. And they get foiled. The lights go out, and the man they call Sting, who man, dude looks great. Oh boy!
Oh yeah, it was nice to see him again.
You know, and
obviously
Jack Perry
it was a
one-off
thing,
on
but
backstage.
It was cool to see.
Jack Perry actually cut a promo on the guy backstage, which was a great promo. So you know, and
Jack Perry
like,
is a talent.
Sting is retired as a wrestler, but I don't think he's retired from the business overall.
Like he's just retired from the ring.
Yeah, retired from the ring. I'm not sure if he's still going to appear to manage Darby Allin. I mean, he had been doing that, although he had still been wrestling. So, I mean, I think at this point in his life and career, I mean, I'm not sure if Sting is actually going to be on every program. But AEW is travel. Their travel schedule is not like WWE, so maybe he will. And I'm sure Sting could actually have a position backstage with creative, but. You know, whatever the case, it was great. It was great to see Sting again.
Yeah,
I mean, I think at one point wasn't there like broken glass, you know, involved in this match as well.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, and then the fans even chanted "Cry Me a River,"
and then so, they followed it with "Fuck you, CM Punk, dude."
Yeah, I mean, hey, look at that.
fucking people, dude. It's hilarious.
But then, hey, you know what? It's good to see some wrestling fans in attendance be savage. I mean, come on, we need that. Like we used to see.
Well, it just shows you that
we need that.
They're still thinking about him, so.
Right. So, yeah, so Sting returning is obviously, you know, huge, but how things go moving forward, that remains to be seen, and that's the biggest question of them all. But Tony, we are finally at the top of the mountain. We are at the main event.
Yes, sir.
I'll be honest with you, I never, ever, ever would have expected this. When I saw that the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, became the new AEW World Champion, I was shocked. Now, Tony, I'm not going to lie to you. I've already been called out a little bit because some people have said that recently I had said that Bryan Danielson doesn't deserve to be the champion. For the record, I never said that. I said he doesn't need to be champion. Am I right?
Yes, but see, that's kind of where I stand with that too. But at the same time, dude, I never wanted him to be champion. Excuse me, because it's the same thing. I never felt like he needed to be champion, dude. Guys like him and Jericho and all those guys, to me, they don't need belts because they've done it all. They're legends already. Like,
yeah,
they don't need belts. So I honestly don't agree with the ending to this at all, but I'm not a Swerve Strickland fan either. So I should be happy, but I'm not, because I kind of feel like they've robbed Swerve Strickland. I'm like, dude, you guys built him up and started convincing me on him, and now he's not the champion anymore. What the fuck happened? He's probably going to get it back, I'm going to assume, because they were making him like out to be the guy, like a big motherfucking deal. So he's probably going to get it back. I don't know, though, because there's that rumor floating around that Danielson is ready to retire. So maybe that was a tactic to get us to think that he was going to lose.
I mean, Hangman Adam Page attempted to interfere in the match. I would say moving forward, I think moving forward, Swerve is going to be in a rivalry with Hangman Adam Page. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm believing. I think so. Okay, Swerve, a tremendous champion, you know, held the title throughout the summer. Held the title for about 100. About 130 days. I think he won it back in April. Yeah, when he beat Samoa Joe for it. Swerve Strickland, a great champion. Now, I didn't expect him to drop the belt. Now, because he dropped the belt, people are showing a lot more. You know, he obviously the level of respect that he has got higher.
Right.
Again, that's my point. I expected Bryan Danielson. You know, I thought that was it. But again, it's just right now it's baffling me because I have to make it clear, because some people have told me that I said that Bryan Danielson doesn't deserve to be champion. And again, I never said that. Right, Tony?
Right, as he doesn't need to.
I said he doesn't need a belt. I never said he doesn't deserve a belt. There's a difference.
Like, listen here, you fucking nerds in the comment section.
Right.
There's all you fuckers between, that like to say Mark.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I never said he doesn't deserve to be champion. I just said he doesn't need to be champion because he's already a champion to us as a wrestler, because he's putting other wrestlers over. He put Will Ospreay over.
Yeah, dude.
He put Maxwell Jacob Friedman over. He's put a lot of wrestlers over in this company. So he was a champion in our book and in our hearts regardless, but I'm not mad that he's champion. I'm not mad at all, because it's actually something huge, because I think I might be wrong. I tried to research this, but I could not find a source that could confirm it. I believe that Bryan Danielson is the first man in history to win the Ring of Honor World Championship, the WWE Championship, and the AEW World Championship.
I think you're right.
Now, yeah, some would say it's Samoa Joe, but Samoa Joe never won the WWE title in WWE.
Yeah, Samoa Joe never won.
I think Samoa Joe, according to my friend Mr. Braverman, he said it to me. I think Samoa Joe is the first one to win a title at Ring of Honor, WWE, AEW, and Impact Wrestling.
And TNA. Yeah. That's true.
But
yeah, he's held every belt except for WWE.
Well, although some would say, some people say Jericho too, because Jericho, former WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and AEW World Champion and Ring of Honor Champion as well. Although some, I mean, Mark Roberman would say that because this is not the original Ring of Honor prior to AEW, he doesn't acknowledge that. But no, I believe that
it counts though. It counts.
Yeah, it counts. So.
It counts. I hate to say that. I mean, I get where he's coming from because that's kind of how I feel about it too. I'm like,
but because when he won, we're acknowledging Bryan Danielson as the first one, it's because Bryan Danielson is a Ring of Honor original. He's one of the founding fathers. Yeah. So
I wonder how long this title reign will last.
So technically, I think Jericho was the first to win the WWE title, AEW title, and Ring of Honor title. But according to my friend Mark, because it's not from the Ring of Honor from, you know, prior to AEW, he doesn't acknowledge it. But I kind of see it a different way. But because Bryan Danielson is a Ring of Honor original, that's just the way I see it. But you know what?
Right.
I'm very happy. I think you froze, by the way. But I'm very happy for the guy. So.
Oh shit! Am I still frozen?
Yeah, but it's okay. As long as we can hear you, then we're fine. But oh, there we go.
I was just gonna ask you. Okay, I was just gonna ask you, how's my quality been with this damn thing?
It's been fine, dude. I mean, it's been fine. But before I get a little too further with Bryan Danielson, I mean, it doesn't surprise me this match got an A+. But man,
it was a good match, dude.
It was a great match. I mean, kudos.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
Both guys put on together the match. I mean, much respect to them both.
Right. No, yeah, it was a fucking awesome, dude. It was a good match, man. I was into it. Even though I had no interest in it, I was into it.
Will Ospreay and MJF stole the show. I mean, hey, this match stole the show as well.
Oh, yeah, this was a good match. Like, it had the right to be the main event, but I enjoyed the MJF and Ospreay one more. That one just blew me away, dude. I was, like, screaming.
Man.
This one, this one, I loved it. I think, like I said, the only reason I think that it wasn't as big for me is because I just wasn't as woed as I was with the other one. And like I said a second ago, I wasn't interested in this match, dude. I had like no fucking interest in this match, but I figured, fuck it, I'll see it because I like Bryan Danielson, so why not see it, you know? Yeah. But because nothing was at stake for me.
And Swerve playing the heel in this one, you know, preventing the EMTs from giving Brian, you know, medical attention, you know, him targeting Brian's neck, and we all know about the neck injury history for him, and you know, him trash talking Brian's family.
Yeah. But yeah.
But I think right now Swerve may revert back to being a full babyface, and if he's in that feud with Hangman Adam Page, but you know. How amazing is it that Bryan Danielson headlines AEW All In, AEW's WrestleMania, wins the world title 10 years after he headlined WrestleMania 30 and became champion?
Right, exactly. It's a historical moment for sure.
10 years for a shot at redemption. And we got to talk about what happened 10 years ago after he won the after he became the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. It all went downhill because of the neck injury.
I was going to say, I'm going to be honest with you, man, I missed it. I didn't get to, there was this period of my life, 2008, I stopped watching wrestling all the way until 2017. So I missed a shit ton of time. I've recaptured a lot of it because I was a big CM Punk fan and it sucked that I let that go. Like I missed the pipe bomb promo from, you know, the Summer of Punk and all that. I missed all of that. I had to go rewatch all of it. I'm like mad at myself for missing it, but dude, I missed so fucking much. Because they went PG. That's what it was. I didn't like the new direction. A lot of the older guys I grew up with were leaving. So
yeah, I just
stopped caring for a while.
Right.
Yeah. And then one night I turn it on and I see, it's 2017, I believe. It's called Great Balls of Fire. Fury. I can't remember. Fury. It's Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar for the WWE Universal Champion, I believe.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And I was like, okay, I know who these two are, yeah.
Right. But so 10 years ago, yeah, so he becomes champion and then eventually, started, I think he lost feeling in one of his arms and then his neck, then had the neck. But there's actually a huge story out of it, and I think he Bryan Danielson revealed this recently, that after he won the title, he had a meeting with Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon told him about big plans. I mean, Vince McMahon told him that they were trying to make Roman Reigns to be the next John Cena, because he told
Yeah.
Vince that Bryan told Vince he wanted to be the next top guy, and I think Bryan Danielson definitely would have been a huge as the next top guy. Now, unfortunately, based on Vince's plans, it wasn't going to happen because Vince just didn't see that in him. Vince told him that they were grooming Roman Reigns, but that Vince told him, you're going to defend the title a couple of times, but you're going to lose it to SummerSlam to Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar is going to squash you. I mean, now, thankfully, that didn't happen because, Daniels had surgery and relinquished the belt, and then they put it on John Cena, and then John Cena ended up being destroyed by Lesnar.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I refuse to believe that Daniel Bryan could not have been, the guy. No, that's a load of crap.
Right.
Because, at that point, the whole thing with yes, I mean, that it had gotten as
Yeah.
over as it could have been. So the fact, I mean, this probably makes wrestling fans even angry, the fact that Vince favored Roman Reigns over Bryan Danielson, or Daniel Bryan as he was known during that time. And no disrespect to the original
Yeah.
Tribal Chief, no disrespect at all, but Vince was in charge, and
Right.
unfortunately, and that's just how it was. So, but that was then, and this is now. So,
Yeah, all around, man, it was a good fucking
I
show. I'm
mean,
glad that I paid
this
for
still
it.
gets an A, but as far as how long will Bryan Danielson be champion? That's a good question.
Only time will tell.
I'll probably say a couple of months at least. Now, who should he drop the
Yeah.
now when it comes for time for him to drop the belt, who should it be against? That's a very good question.
Yeah, because you don't want to just give it to anybody.
Maybe Will Ospreay? Although, I mean, they've had a program before. I mean, Ospreay and Danielson, considering their history, maybe they could do it again. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
So,
I say give it to Hangman. Give Hangman one more run.
well,
But anyway.
So I think that so yeah. So overall, solid show, and an A plus is well deserved. And the fact that this match was title versus career, man.
Yeah, that's where I thought that's why I thought Swerve was gonna win.
Right.
That
Yeah.
was, to me, that was like a big red flag. That was like giving it away.
Right. And actually, well, speaking of Swerve, and I'm glad I pulled this up, because Swerve actually has signed a new multi-year deal with AEW, and sources say that it's one of the biggest deals in the promotion's history. So it's good to know Swerve is not going anywhere. I feel at this point, I mean, I feel at this point, AEW is where Swerve belongs. And Swerve is doing great. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So yes, it's confirmed that Swerve actually has signed a multi-year deal. Then he's it's meant to keep him with the company for at least through 2028. So, man.
Hell yeah.
But where Swerve goes moving forward, I mean, I would imagine, yeah, obviously a program with Hangman Adam Page is coming up, but. Well, we'll see. But again, that's just the beauty of wrestling. We're going to be caught by surprise, and I like it. So,
Me too,
well,
man.
unfortunately, I'm going to steal your words. Unfortunately, we've hit the end of the road. Tony, why don't you let the fans know where they can find you, and tell them about your show?
So, if you're looking for a show that talks about everything but isn't like censored or PC or any of that woke bullshit, then you got to look for the Great Girth Podcast. You can find us on YouTube and Rumble, as well as Spotify and Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, I guess. We're also on something called Pocket Podcast. I have no idea what that is, but I found that out the other day. We're on there as well. We don't have a website right now. That's under maintenance. If you want to find us on social, We're mostly on Instagram, but we're also on Facebook as well as TikTok and Threads and Twitter. That's going to be, again, at the Great Girth Podcast. Pretty much, we talk everything. Think of it like Seinfeld. It's literally a show about nothing. We just get together and we go with the flow. But Alex, man, thanks for having me on. I love doing this, man. I love talking wrestling with you.
Well, I love it as well. And of course, Ringside Chaos is available wherever you get your podcasts. So hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. If you're watching on YouTube, let me know what did you think of AEW All In. Let us know your thoughts. We're always curious to know what you have to say. Tony, thank you very, very much for joining me. And you and everybody else, y'all have a good night.
Peace out, brother.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.